Thank you.
Maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
Oh,
fine. See in the book at the end of the year.
So, the parsha of the Yishlach, definitely one of the most famous parts of the parsha of the Yishlach, is the fight between Yaakov and Soro Shel Esav. In the introduction leading up to the fight, so the Torah describes by Yivaser Yaakov Levado, Yaakov was left by himself. Simple taich of the pasuk seems to be that Yaakov was alone. He was susceptible to being attacked by Soro Shel Esav. That's the pashim shah. The Medrash over here links Yaakov to Hashem. Just like it says, by Yivaser Yaakov Levado, it also says Veniskav Hashem Levado. Hashem is exalted by himself, completely separate by himself. And the Medrash seems to be understanding that the Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, the lead-in to this milchama with the Soro Shel Esav, was supposed to also allude to the special schusim that Yaakov had that allowed him to overcome the Soro Shel Esav. It's an aspect of levado, of being alone by yourself, self-sufficient, that was the schus that enabled Yaakov to overcome the Soro Shel Esav. So I want to try to talk about what that means. What does that mean? What's levado? What's this special idea of levado that enables us to overcome Soro Shel Esav, the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, the Kochel Shel Ra, the Kochel Shel Tuma in the world? What's this levado that we need in order to grow, to become bigger, to become better? What is that? So two ideas I wanted to speak about. One is from Rav Yerucham. Rav Yerucham brings down in discussing this. The pasuk in Parshas Balak, when Bilam is talking about Klal Yisrael, Bilam is trying to curse Klal Yisrael. One of the brachos that Bilam says, "Hein am levada yishko uvagoyim lo yischasha." Right, it's a nation that dwells by itself and is not considered amongst the other nations. The Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says over there, "Hein am levada yishko uvagoyim lo yischasha ha'am avilchodei ratidon lemichsanal." But this is a nation that by itself, in the future, will merit olam haba. Mitul, because the bini musay umayel lo medaber, they don't speak, they don't talk like the goyim. Hey nam levada yishkon vagoyim lo yischashav means that Klal Yisrael, the special source, the special olam haba that Klal Yisrael will merit, is a function of the fact that they don't talk like the goyim. It's not the way they behave. Right? The strength of Klal Yisrael not to mix with the goyim. The pasuk of one of the mitzvahs of uchukos seyam lo teilechu, which has, it's like any other mitzvah, has very specific gedarim when what exactly is prohibited by uchukos seyam lo teilechu. But from hashkafic perspective, it's this idea of levado, right? The realization of the fact that we're supposed to be self-sufficient in our Yiddishkeit. We have everything we need within our Yiddishkeit, within our avodas Hashem. And the truth is that people tend to gravitate towards outside forces when they don't feel satisfied with what they have on the inside. Right? They look to other forms of stimulation, other forms of excitement, when they don't feel fulfilled with what they have. Right? When is it true that you have Yidden who are looking outside for other types of fulfillment, entertainment, satisfaction? When their Yiddishkeit is lacking. Right? Your Yiddishkeit is lacking, it's empty, it doesn't feel like it's meaningful. It's like a shell. There's certain actions that you do, you don't really feel anything when you do them, you don't feel invested in it. And as a result of that, their Avodas Hashem, even though Lamaisa, we know, Avodas Hashem regulates our entire day, our entire week, our entire life. There's always an aspect in every single day, every single moment, there's a way to be thinking about Hashem, serving Hashem. But to the extent that your connection with Avodas Hashem is weak, to the extent that you don't pump meaning into it, so it feels lacking, you feel sort of empty, and as a result, you end up looking for stimulation elsewhere. You're not levado. Levado means, I'm good, I have what I need. I'm satisfied with what I have. Someone who's not levado, if you don't have the midah of levado, so that means that you're constantly looking for something fun, exciting, on the external. Right? The in order to be levado, to be zocha to olam haba, the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel is saying, you need to work on deepening your Yiddishkeit. Right? The more facets to it, the depth, the layers that you're able to add, the meaning that you can add to everything that you're doing, the more challenging it is, the more exciting it becomes, and the less you need to look elsewhere for stimulation. Right? I think the deeper understanding, this nusach of the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, bini musay umaya lo medabrin, right? They don't talk the ways of the goyim, they don't get involved with the ways of the goyim, they're not mixing with the goyim like that. It's not just that you're controlling yourself. I really, really, I want to mix with everybody. Really, really, I want to interact. I want to do other types of things, other types of fun, other types of excitement, but I control myself. Mm-hmm. Right? The deeper understanding of it, the better understanding of it is that we've worked on ourselves to the point that our depth of connection with Hashem is such that we have no need to speak like the goy. It's not that I want to, but I can hold myself back. Then you're constantly fighting with yourself. Right? To get to a point of levado that's not like imposed from the outside, that you need to control yourself. You would love to. You would love to do X. You would love to do Y. You would love to behave like X. You'd love to behave like Y. Elamai, what can I do? Yiras Shamayim, it says that you shouldn't do that, so I'm not going to do that. That's one way. Much better way is to feel like your Yiddishkeit, your Avodas Hashem, your learning, your davening, everything else, your Avodas Amidos is on such a fulfilling and exciting level. I don't need any of that. Why would I look elsewhere for stimulation? Baruch Hashem, I'm levado. I'm satisfied with what I have. I'm good. I'm good the way that I am. The idea over here, in order to really overcome the social lesa, the Yetzirah, the Malach HaMaves, it's all the same thing. We have to ward off their attacks by becoming more levado, right? To the extent that we're levado, that we're satisfied within our Avodas Hashem, so the Yetzer Hara has much less room to operate, right? The deeper our connection is, the more fulfillment we find in our Avodas Hashem, the less we need to look elsewhere. The less we look elsewhere, the less room there is for mistakes and for making doing chataim and making mistakes in the way we conduct ourselves. You know, I just think of this example. I don't know, an example that I think is relevant. Just from personal experience, people can verify this is not true. It doesn't say this anywhere. But just an example of like trying to fill a void with gashmias, trying to fill a void with things that are external to Avodas Hashem on a very innocuous level. What I'm about to say now is not an avera, it's fine. Completely innocuous, but then you can sort of scale it up for things that are much more problematic. Right, so you come home, you know, you have a long day, it's 11 o'clock, 11:15 at night, you know, you're sort of bored, you're not really going to sleep yet, you just came home, whatever, you're not really hungry, but you're sort of bored, you're just sort of like opening the fridge, there's really no reason to open the fridge right now, I'm not hungry at all, and I know that, there's nothing in the fridge, you open like, you know, you're looking for cookies, something, maybe the freezer has something that can sort of work for you, right, but there's nothing terrible about that, right, but no one's hungry right now, you're just sort of bored, you're feeling a little bit empty, you might have had a very fulfilling day, you're not going to sleep yet, so whatever, you know, it's a little bit empty, you know, if you could sort of take away that emptiness, sort of numb the emptiness, again, there's nothing wrong with this, numb the emptiness with the cookie, with a little ice cream, later, it's a way of sort of stimulating yourself, and just sort of taking away a little bit of pain, a little bit of emptiness, a little bit of feeling like, what's going on, what am I doing? Again, those questions probably not even coming up in your head. But Lamai said, that's what it is. You're not hungry, which is not. But when you scale that up times 10, times 20, times 30, when a person's life is empty, right? When there's nothing going on in your life, now that could be a person who had a full day at work, you know, had a good chavrusa night, davened marav, came home, it's 11 o'clock. Okay, I'm not going to sleep yet, maybe I'll just have a snack. Why not? I'll have a snack. Right, but what if your life is empty? What if there's large sections of your day, large sections of your week, you know, that are empty? You don't feel like you're doing anything productive. You don't feel like you're contributing to the world in a meaningful way. You don't feel like you're building yourself in a meaningful way. So the pain of that emptiness is so significant, it takes much more than a cookie or like some ice cream, you know, to dispel those feelings of emptiness. And then people end up doing crazy things. So it's all in proportion. To the extent that our connection to Avodas Hashem is deeper and more satisfying, the less we need to look outwards, again, the cookie's fine, the less we need to look outwards, the less trouble we're going to get into, right? The more levado we are, the more we're satisfied with our Avodas Hashem, the more that gives us satisfaction and meaning, the less we need to look outside, the better off we are, right? The more shallow our Avodas Hashem, the more empty we feel, the more we need to look outside, the less levado we are, and the more trouble we're likely to get into. How do you make your Avodas Hashem more meaningful? How do you do that? How do you get to a place where you can be more levado? If you want to cultivate levado, how are you supposed to do that? How can you make your Avodas Hashem much more satisfying and meaningful? So definitely one of the best ways to do that, for sure, is with Talmud Torah, that's Pashut, right? To feel fresh, exciting, invigorated in your Avodas Hashem. The most reliable way to consistently do that is to be alive, excited through your connection to learning. Remember years ago, I was home, it was a long time ago, and I had a family member who was learning with one of them, with the Maggid Shir in the Five Towns area, and they were learning sugyas, gemaras, rishonim, whatever, and for whatever reason, soon before Pesach, a couple of weeks before Pesach, the Rav had decided that he was going to start learning a little bit of Minchas Chinuch with his family member, a family member of mine. So, okay, I didn't think that was really problematic. I thought it was fine. I went over to say hello to this Magid Shir. I said, hello, oh, I'm learning with so-and-so, whatever. He's like, don't worry. Worry about what? Everything's fine. Now, you shouldn't be worried. Worry about what? He's like, you know that I'm, because he knew that I was in touch with his family member and I know what's going on. He's like, we're going straight back to the Gemara. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I just thought he'd need a little bit of break, you know, a little bit of Minchas Chinuch for a couple of weeks, but we're going to go back to the Gemara very soon. I'm like, all right, thank you for telling me that. He said to me very matter-of-factly, he said it just like this, how could you have a Yid who's not holding in a Sugya? How could that be? How could you have such a thing? And I was like, thinking to myself, I don't know, I did pretty well for a pretty long time myself. I thought I was okay. But like he says, he's so matter-of-fact, like, how could you have a Yid who's not holding in a Sugya? How is that Shaykh? How could it be such a thing? So okay, there was a little need for Minchas Chinuch for a couple of weeks, but we'll get back into the Sugya very soon. How could a person live like that? How could you be living as a Yid without holding in a Sugya? How is the Shaykh such a thing? Right? The idea that deep Torah, Amkus in Torah, connection to Torah in a very deep way, is the most reliable way to maintain an exciting connection with your Avodas Hashem, to be more levado, to feel satisfied with what you're doing. There's always what to be doing, always deeper levels in whatever sugi you're holding in. And that's a way certainly of maintaining excitement in everything that you're doing. The Chavetz Chaim pointed out that the Malach, right, this Satan, didn't come to attack Avraham or Yitzchak. It only came to attack Yaakov. Yaakov was the one of the Avos who was considered the Amud of Torah. Yaakov was 14 years in Shein Ve'Ever, Ishtam Yoshev Oalim. Yaakov was the pillar of Torah amongst the Avos. And the Yetzirah understood that Kol Zman, that Klal Yisrael has a strong connection to Torah, he has no Shaifas. Right? The main thing he had to fight against was Yaakov, was Torah, Chesed, Gvura, Seder, Chesed and Gvura, okay. But the Torah is the strongest problem for the Yetzirah. It makes us the most levado, gives us the most power to stay self-sufficient in our Yiddishkeit, not to look elsewhere for anything. The Belzer Rebbe used to say that the Yetzirah is also a Malach. Right, he knows very well the koach of Limud HaTorah. That's why he came to fight against Yaakov Avinu. And, you know, this is Stam. And the Belz Rebbe used to say that the Yitzhara has the biggest thing that he's trying to do all the time is to generate Bittul Torah, keep us away from our learning. If you keep us away from our learning, then our connection is attenuated and then can take us to all different kinds of places. One other thing that I think in terms of how you keep your Yiddishkeit exciting, invigorated, alive, and also stam and all of your shmiras hamitzvos, constantly trying to get a deeper understanding of why we do things, not just how we do things, the technical details, that's also important, but in terms of really developing more of a connection with the mitzvah, more of a connection with your Avodas Hashem, trying to understand better why we do the things that we do, different ideas behind them, all the mitzvahs have lots of reasons, trying to connect to those reasons, giving new reasons, new understandings. And stam, like the Ali Shor talks about, the way when the Ali Shor describes working on your midos and trying to become a more refined person, he talks about, the way he describes it is like this idea of someone who should feel like he has the whole world in front of him. It's so exciting. You can spend your entire life continuing to work on yourself, perfecting yourself further, like as opposed to, you know, feeling like you have your entire life to garner, amass as much money as possible, as much honor as possible, like you have all these years in front of you and you're going to try to get whatever job it is and make as much money as you possibly can, and that's what excites you, and new vistas of opportunity in Gashmius. So the Ali Shor describes Avodas HaMidos like that. Like it's never ending. There's never ending opportunities to improve your Midos, to be more refined, more sensitive, more caring, less arrogant, less angry. It never ends. I like to think about trying to direct yourself in that way, like, gosh, like a new opportunity, a new level, a new madrega in this midah, a new madrega in that midah. That should be where you're getting your chiyus from. That's where you get your geshmak from, right? If you're able to direct your geshmak, direct your excitement in those areas, you have a much greater chance of being levado, not needing to look to other external forms of stimulation for excitement, because your excitement is coming from the fact that you're less angry, you're less arrogant. That's where your geshmak should come from. That's one aspect of levado. One aspect of levado. Separate aspect of levado. I think this is a very big yisod in hashkafa. I mean, that was also. But this is also a big yisod in hashkafa. Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph. Ezehu Chacham, Ezehu Gibor, Ezehu Ashir, Ezehu Mechubad. Right? Who's considered wise, strong, wealthy, honorable? Right? The Mishnah gives these definitions. What does it take? How do we define wisdom and strength, these four midos? Now, when we think about these four midos, these four character traits, these four characteristics, So when we talk about measuring them, how do you measure how smart somebody is? I don't know. I mean, it's relative. I don't know. How do you do on his SATs? You know, was he on the honor roll? Was he the valedictorian? What were his grades like? How do we determine how rich somebody is? I don't know. I mean, how much money does he get to Staka? Where does he stand relative to everybody else? You know, did he get the gold page in the shul dinner book, the silver page in the gold shul dinner book? It's been a long time, but I still remember that stuff. The builder page, right? Where are you holding on the diamond page? Sorry, see, a little bit. I have to brush up. Right? Where is he holding on the Forbes list? Everything is relative. Everything's relative to other people. Right? Who's considered a gibor? I don't, you know, it depends. How big are your muscles? Who can you beat in fights? Who can you overcome? Mechubad, who's considered honorable? I don't know. It depends. How famous are you? How many likes do you have? How many followers do you have? Right? Everything's relative. There's nothing be'etzem about any of these things. Wisdom, wealth, all of these things are defined relative to other people. And if you think about it, be'etzem, it's really a terrible way to live. Because your entire life, you're completely dependent on other people. Right? Nothing you do is be'etzem. Nothing you do is inherently chashuv. Nothing you do is inherently valuable. Everything is completely relative to other people. Every accomplishment you have is immediately put on a scale in your own brain, relative to others. Where do I stand? Now that I made $200,000, relative to all the people around me, where does that put me? Am I rich? I don't know. It depends. Right? If most of the people in my shul make $350, I'm still poor. Right? Even though I'm still able to do whatever it is, most people make $350, I guess that means I'm still poor. And in any accomplishment that you have, in wisdom, in wealth, in honor, whatever it's going to be, it's always going to be relative to other people. And it shackles you. It shackles you your entire life. You can never feel like the etzem you have anything because you're constantly comparing to other people. Even in the event that you have some sort of a tremendous aliyah, you know, person goes from making $300,000 to $1 million a year, buys a new house, moves to a new area of town. But now what did you do? So now you're with all the people who make 1.2, 1.6. You have a fancier house. You move to the fancier area. But now your frame of reference completely shifted. You're still not really rich because you're not looking at the 300,000 people anymore. Now you're with the 1.2 million people and you're still a loser. Right? You still have that same issue. It's always going to be relative to everybody else in whatever it is that you're doing. Right? We constantly assess all of these things in a very non-levado way. It's all relative to everybody else. Nothing is be'etzem. Nothing is be'etzem. So one of the gedolim, I wish I remember who it was, I should have looked it up, I saw this years ago, one of the gedolim points out that what the Mishnah, what Ben Zoma in this Mishnah is trying to show you is that from the Torah's perspective, from Hashem's perspective, from the Hashkafas HaTorah is that all of these things are defined in ways that they're not relative to anybody else. That's the Yisod, that's the Tzad HaShaveh, if you will, between the Torah's definitions of these four things. Ezehu Chacham, if you learn from other people, yeah, you love wisdom so much that you're willing to take in from all the people around you, you're a chacham. What do you mean? Your IQ is not as high as he is, as his. So what? You're still a chacham in the eyes of the Torah. Right? An ashir, sameach b'chelko. You're sameach b'chelko, you're an ashir in the eyes of the Torah. It has nothing to do with anybody else. You're totally in control of whether you're considered an ashir, totally in control whether you're considered a chacham, a gibor, a kovesh es yitzro. As long as you conquer your yetzahara, you're able to withstand the onslaught of your yetzahara, you're a gibor. What do you mean relative to some? It's not relative to anybody. It's be'etzem. Right? Who's mechubah? Who's considered honorable? Ha-mechaveh ne-sabriya. So if you give kavod to other people, you're mechubah. It has nothing to do with anybody else. Not comparing you to anybody. Right? The Hashkafas HaTorah is that all four of these things, whereas the world around us, the secular world around us, defines them in ways that are completely relative. And that means your entire life, you're constantly comparing yourself to other people and feeling inferior as a result of that, never feeling like you really made it, just perhaps shifting to the new class of people you can feel inferior to. And the Hashkafas HaTorah is not like that. Right? Ben Zoma is teaching you how to free yourself, right? How to free yourself from the shackles of public opinion to get to a place where you assess your worth, chachma, gvura, osher, kavod, in ways that have nothing to do with the people around you. You have to be levado. You want to be levado in all of these areas. I define these things based on myself, not based on my surroundings. That's the true Hashkafas HaTorah. We're not supposed to be looking at what's going on around us in order to try to assess our worth. Remember, years ago, I saw in a shul, the shul had recently had a I recently had a campaign to raise money for the shul. They just built a new shul. And you're like, you walk into the shul, there was like that wall. You know the wall? Like everybody has like plaques, you know, based on like the rabbi's lectern, you know, the whole thing. And it was a very big wall because they raised a lot of money to build the shul. And I remember I was walking out of Mincha Maariv once, and one of the members of the shul was very vocally upset about two things: the size of his plaque and the placement of his plaque. The size wasn't big enough relative to the money he had given, and also it wasn't centrally located enough. It was like sort of off to the side. You know, it wasn't like, it just was pretty upset. So what was amazing about this to me was two things. One thing was, it's one thing to think those things. Okay, so you think those things, okay, say it. It's another thing like to go to like the executive director of the shul, have a schmooze about it, maybe we could rearrange the plaques, okay. It's like another thing to like walk out of Mincha Maariv and start a thing. Like, there's people walking out like you're doing a thing. Like, everybody's walking out, and it's like it's a massive. Like, because you're upset about the size and placement of your plaque. It's a whole hock. Everybody's walking out. The guy's upset. And I remember, like, thinking to myself, like, that's mamish an amazing thing. And I knew the person. I never could, you know, change my perception of the person forever. And just like to be in a place where not only is it like so pasha that you're assessing, you know, I guess your osher, the money you donated to the shul, where you're holding your sort of your financial state relative to everybody else, and your ability to sort of demonstrate it and show it, I guess, by virtue of what you gave to the shul campaign. But it's like so pasha that that's the way everybody's thinking. I'm not even embarrassed to like start a whole discussion about it on the way out of a regular Mincha Maariv. Like, this is just a regular day. Everybody's just trying to go home. Like, just let everybody go. Like, well, why? What are you doing right now? But that's the kilkel. That's the kilkel that we're describing. When everything is described, is understood and defined in a relativistic way, and my own self value is all bound up with my relative donation to the shul relative to everybody else. So it takes you to crazy places. It takes you to crazy places. You're meshubed to things that you shouldn't be meshubed to. This idea of living our lives in a way where we're levado, right? We're separate. We're not assessing our worth. We're not assessing our accomplishments relative to other people. We appreciate the fact that we have our own kochos, our own abilities, and to the extent that we're able to accomplish things in our Yiddishkeit, in our osher, in our gvura, in our kavod, right? If you're mechabed other people, that makes you mechubed. But you're mechabed other people, that makes you an honorable person. Not relative to anybody else, not how many people know about you, not how famous you are, not how many people like you. Stop. You give kavod to other people, Hashem says, you're mechubed. Right? You have total control over that. How do you treat other people? How do you talk to them? How do you say good morning to them? How do you relate to other people? That makes you a mechubed person. Nothing else. You don't have to do well. You don't have to do be amazing at your job. You're mechubed if you're mechabed as abrios. You have total control over all four of these things. Everybody else in the world is not functioning like that. They're not functioning like that. It causes tremendous amounts of heartache and sadness. So to the extent that we appreciate that and realize that by virtue of the fact that we would live levado in all of these areas would generate a tremendous amount of sipuk, a tremendous amount of simcha, and enable us to serve Hashem in a much better way. These are the two things I wanted to take out, is that these ideas of levado, number one, trying to cultivate in avodas Hashem, a connection with Hashem that is so satisfying that we don't need to look elsewhere for stimulation. Such a chashuv thing to do for your kids, so chashuv for your kids, to give over to your kids, to try to get over to them the idea that Avodas Hashem is where the action is, trying to figure out ways to make the Avodas Hashem exciting for them, gishmak for them, enrich it for them, talk about things at the Shabbos table that make the Torah come alive, that make the Torah relevant to them. You don't want your kids looking elsewhere for stimulation. That's one thing. And this other thing about Stam, the way we live our lives, how do we assess our value, how do we assess our worth, to make sure that we're levado in doing that, to realize that as far as the Kodesh Baruch Hu is concerned, he's going to assess all of these things, Osher, Gvura, Chachma, it's all a function of you, it has nothing to do with anybody else. And all of us need to try to develop that appreciation, those sensitivities, to realize that we're going to assess ourselves vis-a-vis ourselves, remain levado, remain sameach as a result, and become better over the Hashem in the process. Okay.